that was the choice, the real choice, between leaving or escalating.
Ending the U.S.'s longest war. It's Thursday, September 2nd, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Chris Cascale in Washington. You'll also find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Russian diplomacy with the Taliban. Former refugees welcome Afghans. Unemployment in South Africa. 5G technology innovations. Electric-powered buses in Kenya. It's all on today's VOA Asia. $120,000 Americans, Afghans, and others airlifted out of Afghanistan by U.S. military. A suicide bombing that killed 13 U.S. service members and 169 Afghans. Between 100 to 200 Americans still left in the now Taliban-controlled country. These are among the reasons U.S. President Joe Biden is facing intense criticism of his administration's chaotic evacuation. Biden gave a speech on Tuesday and once again defended how he has ended America's longest war. VOA's Patsy Wiedekuswara has the story.
The Taliban celebrated on the streets of Kabul following the U.S. military's complete withdrawal from Afghanistan and the last American planes leaving. On Tuesday, the U.S. commander-in-chief announced the end of America's longest war.
I was not going to extend this forever war. And I was not extending a forever exit.
President Joe Biden repeated his reason to end the war that has spanned 20 years and four American presidents.
So we're left with a simple decision. Either follow through on the commitment made by the last administration and leave Afghanistan, or say we weren't leaving and commit another tens of thousands more troops going back to war. That was the choice, the real choice, between leaving or escalating.
Last week's suicide bomb attacks by ISIS-K, also known as the Khorasan Network, a self-proclaimed branch of the militant group active in Central and South Asia that took the lives of 13 American soldiers and more than 150 Afghans, triggered more criticism of the withdrawal. But some analysts say Biden is right to end the mission now.
In the longer run, I think the withdrawal will look more like the withdrawal from Vietnam. Short-term, a hit, in the longer term, cleared the way for resetting strategic priorities, refocusing American foreign policy, investing in the economy at home rather than the economy abroad.
The withdrawal was also marred by chaotic scenes as Afghans, fearful of Taliban rule, rushed to the airport hoping to be evacuated. Biden defended the operation.
No nation has ever done anything like it in all of history. Only the United States had the capacity and the will and ability to do it, and we did it today. The extraordinary success of this mission was due to the incredible skill, bravery, and selfless courage of the United States military and our diplomats and intelligence professionals.
The administration vowed to get about 200 self-identified Americans still in Afghanistan out of the country. Meanwhile, critics say potentially thousands of Afghans who assisted Americans during the war have been left behind and are now in fear of the Taliban's retribution.
There's been inconsistent policies as to who's the priority at the gate. One minute, the State Department is telling humanitarian organizations and individuals to bring busloads or groups of people in, or telling certain individuals to go there. And then the next minute, it's U.S. passport holders only or green card holders only.
Responding to VOA, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki denied those allegations.
I have no confirmation of what you've just outlined. What I will tell you is that 117,000, approximately, many of them Afghans, people who are not American citizens, were evacuated. That's more people than ever in any airlift in U.S. history.
Following the end of the Afghan war, Biden vowed he would approach foreign policy through the prism of U.S. interests, including how best to continue to keep the American people safe. Patsy Wiedekuswara, VOA News at the White House.
We invite you to read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook VOA Asia and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. UN study, weather disasters increase by 5 times in 50 years. 7 Hong Kong activists sentenced for taking part in 2019 anti-government protests. Australia to prioritize mental and physical well-being of Afghan refugees. Experts, North Korea may be pushing Biden for nuclear deal Trump rejected. South Korea bans Google, Apple payment monopolies. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues on this Thursday. Pope Francis has criticized the West's two-decade-long involvement in Afghanistan as an outsider's attempt to impose democracy, although he did it by citing Russian President Vladimir Putin while thinking he was quoting German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Asked during a radio interview aired Wednesday about the new political map taking shape in Afghanistan after the United States and its allies withdrew from the Taliban-controlled country following 20 years of war, the Pope said he would answer with a quote that he attributed to Merkel, whom he described as one of the world's greatest political figures. "It is necessary to put an end to the irresponsible policy of intervening from outside and building democracy in other countries, ignoring the traditions of the peoples," the Pope said, using his own translation into Spanish. But the words were spoken last month by Putin in the presence of Merkel during her visit to Moscow. Meanwhile, Russia is looking south to Afghanistan once again to see how it can benefit from a situation fraught with both opportunity and risk. VOA's Margaret Bashir reports.
Although it officially labels the Taliban a terrorist organization, Russia has been engaging with its leaders for years, even inviting them to Moscow. As Western nations view the U.S. and NATO's exit with anxiety, Moscow has struck a softer tone.
Currently, we believe that there is no point in panicking. The main point is that a widespread bloodbath among civilians has been avoided. We urge all Afghan parties to refrain from hostilities and to foster a settlement peacefully.
Moscow had its own intervention in Afghanistan in 1979. Its troops invaded to prop up a communist government fighting Islamist rebels known as the Mujahideen. What was supposed to be a quick military operation dragged on for nearly a decade. Soon after the Soviet withdrawal, the communist regime collapsed. Today, Moscow has taken a more pragmatic position.
Moscow is very eager to take advantage of a perceived power vacuum. And so they are on the ground. They are not going to be removing their embassy. I think they would be one of likely the first countries potentially to recognize the Taliban, although I think we're still far away from that potential point.
Russia is keen to prevent the export of Islamist extremists and fighters to Central Asia, and it hopes the Taliban will curb the flow of illicit drugs to its region. Meantime, the U.S. withdrawal has been a propaganda gift for Moscow.
Of course, Afghanistan also matters internationally for Russia as a showcase of, you know, the weakness of the United States, which also benefits Russia significantly as a talking point and an example in its efforts in places like Ukraine and Venezuela and elsewhere.
Ultimately, it seems clear that Moscow hopes to fill the vacuum left by America's departure to boost its own regional influence. Margaret Bashir, VOA News.
Still ahead on VOA Asia, Afghan refugees find a welcoming community in one U.S. city that's home to many former refugees from Vietnam. Happening now in Asia, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and thousands of youth group members pose for a photo outside a massive palace on the outskirts of the capital, Pyongyang. State media reported on Tuesday. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Thank you for joining us on VOA Asia. A senior UN official has warned that food in Afghanistan could run out this month, threatening to add a hunger crisis to the challenges facing the country's new Taliban rulers as they endeavor to restore stability after decades of war. Ramiz Alakbarov said Wednesday that about one-third of the country's population of 38 million is facing emergency or crisis levels of food insecurity. Alakbarov is the local UN humanitarian coordinator. With winter coming and a severe drought ongoing, more money is needed to feed the population. He said the UN's World Food Program has brought in food and distributed it to tens of thousands of people in recent weeks. But of the $1.3 billion needed for aid efforts, only 39% has been received. Meanwhile, tens of thousands of Afghans are expected to resettle in the U.S. One family migrated to Houston, Texas, where it is starting its new life. As VOA's Dina Mitchell reports, they found a welcoming community among other people who know what it's like to acclimate to a new country.
When the Siddiqui family fled Afghanistan last week, they had nothing except the clothes they were wearing. Now in Houston, Texas, under the care of YMCA International, the family of four is relying on others to help as they begin their new life. The sudden turn of events in Afghanistan has shocked Abdul Aman Siddiqui, who worked with the U.S. Army Special Forces from 2012 until he left Afghanistan, helping to remove explosives by day and assisting with operations at night.
And he's saying that I was thinking that the whole world is standing behind us and they're thinking about our ideas, about our hope and about our future. But they all left all of a sudden.
Through his job with U.S. Special Forces, Siddiqui qualified for a Special Immigration Visa, or SIV. And that, along with persistence and luck, got them on a plane to Houston, Texas on August 21st, and into a modest one-bedroom apartment funded by the U.S. government.
Okay, he's saying that during my whole life, I've seen a lot. Like, there have been wars, explosions, people dying around me, and I've never had a peace life. I just want to stay safe, and I'm happy that I'm here, and I just want to live a very calm and quiet life.
Sonia Wafek, who is translating for Siddiqui, also is the family's case manager with YMCA International. She is helping other Afghan refugees who have come to Houston in recent weeks get settled.
These families who are coming right now, because they just had to save their life, so that's why they were coming like with nothing. We will be helping them getting a job. We will be helping them to get the government the benefits like food stamp and Medicaid and all those other stuff. And we will be helping them be able to get all their documents.
This trip to the store is being paid for by the Tram Ho family. Ho came to the U.S. as a teenage refugee in the wake of the Vietnam War. And she wanted to give back and also allow her American-born kids to meet refugees firsthand.
It really broke my heart and brought me to tears because we were in their own shoes with the fall of Saigon. These people are considered to be lucky to be able to make to America for their family safety. We were lucky when we came to America in 1981 to establish a new life here, and the Americans have opened their arm to help us, and we'll do the same for the Afghans.
Siddiqui said starting over with nothing at 36 is hard. But staying in Afghanistan wasn't an option since he felt his life was in danger. He worries about families still there, and he hopes to get them out too. A new country, a new language, it's a lot. But he is looking to his children.
He's happy that at least his kids are able to have a good life in here and have a good future.
It's a life this family will build together with the help of others. Dina Mitchell for VOA News. Houston, Texas.
Read and see more on this story at VOA Asia Facebook.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, read, and share all the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news, information, and great features.
This news alert from VOA Asia, a Japanese official said on Wednesday that the latest contaminants found in Moderna COVID-19 vaccines were likely to be parts of rubber stoppers, but they did not pose a problem to the safety of the shot. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. As Pakistan deals with a surge in COVID-19 cases due to the Delta variant, the United States will begin moving 4 million doses of the Pfizer vaccine to the country on Thursday, a White House spokesperson told VOA. The doses, sent through COVAX, the Global Vaccine Sharing Initiative, co-led by Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, the World Health Organization, and Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness, are in addition to the more than 9.2 million doses of Moderna and Pfizer vaccine already donated to Pakistan since June. South Africa's jobless rate hit 34%, among the highest in the world, as the country's economy is stifled by the pandemic and July's riots. Black women are among the worst affected, with 41% unemployed. VOA's Linda Givtash reports from Johannesburg.
Rebecca Mwale has been searching for a job to no avail since January. The recent graduate from a supply chain management program was already working in the sector when the pandemic struck, and she found herself laid off.
I apply almost every day, but the responses I'm getting, I'm sure I've applied more than 30 times since, but I've only gotten like 2 responses back. There's not much out here. I even started applying outside the country.
About 585,000 South Africans lost their job last quarter, a period marked by strict COVID-19 lockdowns. The government says the total number of job seekers has reached 7.8 million, while an additional 3.3 million people have given up searching. While the pandemic is taking an economic toll, economists say it's compounded with a historically bleak situation.
I don't think we've turned a corner. I think unemployment is likely to continue creeping up. And unfortunately, it's women that will bear the brunt of all this.
2 decades of experience as a flight attendant for South Africa's national carrier didn't spare Charity Mokimane from job cuts last year. She never dreamt of retraining, but she didn't want to leave her husband as the family's sole breadwinner.
You know, when you keep hearing places are shedding jobs, then you think, oh, you know, I can't. I just decided to maybe try and look at other avenues of making money.
She adopted her mother's passion for baking and started selling cakes from her home. Economists say this type of informal entrepreneurship isn't captured in employment data. It means people like Mokimane are still getting by.
And I feel also slightly more in control of what happens to my life. And whatever happens, people have to eat.
But for young job seekers like Mwale, the disruption has curtailed dreams of building a career. The stress has also taken a toll on her mental health.
I did not envision myself depressed and sitting at home. It was not in my plans. I did not even imagine.
South Africa's economy did grow in the first quarter of this year, but economists warn unemployment will remain high for the foreseeable future. Faced with uncertainty, Mwale says all she can often do is pray. Linda Givtash for VOA News, Johannesburg.
Making headlines in Asia, researchers in Taiwan are developing a first-of-its-kind COVID-19 oral vaccine for the infection, calling it the Medigen COVID-19 vaccine. The manufacturer says trials have posed a unique challenge due to the small number of cases there. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, 5G technology, short for fifth generation, is the newest mobile network being adopted by countries around the world. And it promises newer and faster ways to interact with and experience technology of all types. VOA's Elizabeth Lee has more on the potential of 5G.
From consuming entertainment to delivering healthcare, 5G technology allows devices to connect to the cloud faster with less lag time. Steve Koenig is with the Consumer Technology Association.
Self-driving vehicles, remote surgery, high-speed transfer of video.
Imagine taking seconds instead of minutes to download a high-definition movie. That's what 5G promises. It's similar to having wider, larger pipes that go into mobile devices that deliver uninterrupted information faster.
If you think about pipes coming into your phone, you don't want them kind of interwoven and colliding. You want everything to stay nice and neat in its own lane. That's what an RF filter does.
That's George Holmes with RF filter design company Resonant. He says for many countries, the rollout of 5G technology will take time.
We look at 5G as really in its infancy, in what we call wave one of deployment, which is really about the operators setting a footprint, setting a coverage map.
Once 5G networks mature,
5G could be a game changer for the healthcare field.
Urologist Indrabir Gill says institutions including Keck Medicine of USC are now testing remote surgery in anticipation of what 5G can do.
For remote surgery, when I execute a maneuver here, the signal has to go to the remote location, the maneuver executed, and information relayed back to me.
5G will allow the exchange of information between the surgeon and patient to travel within hundreds of milliseconds in real time. With 5G, Gill says remote and even autonomous surgery could happen 5 to 10 years from now. It's just one reason why countries around the world are racing to implement 5G, enabling innovation in technology. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News.
Finally on VOA Asia, the United Nations Environmental Program held a ceremony earlier this week marking the end of toxic leaded gasoline use in vehicles worldwide. A company in Nairobi, where the UNEP is headquartered, is working on the next step, converting buses and utility vehicles to electric power. VOA's Lenny Rivaga reports from Nairobi.
Engineer Lucy Mugala and her colleague Esther Wairimu are fine-tuning plans to outfit a public transport bus with lithium batteries. The two work at Opibus, a privately owned 4-year-old Nairobi company that converts cars and public transport vehicles to run on electricity. Mugala says converting this bus reduces the effects of greenhouse emissions responsible for global warming.
A lot has been done currently in terms of mitigating the effect of greenhouse gases in Kenya, but very little is being done in the electrical, in the vehicle sector. And that is a gap that we're trying to fill as Opibus. We are looking at maximizing impact by targeting the largest sector, which is the public transport sector. And with this, we will be able to, step by step, be able to achieve a low carbon economy in Kenya and in Africa at large.
Douglas Aguata has been in the public transport industry for 15 years. On average, Aguata spends around $80 on fuel daily, a cost he'd like to see come down. However, Aguata says drivers like him may find it challenging to adapt to electric vehicles.
Converting the engines from petrol to electric is quite costly, and you'll also find that there may be a scarcity of charging stations, and this may prove to be quite a challenge.
Joshua Anampiu is the strategy and planning manager at the National Environment Trust Fund, or NET Fund, a state corporation that raises funds for sustainable environmental management in Kenya. Anampiu says shifting towards clean energy requires investment from the government, but argues the investment will be worth it.
No matter how costly it looks right now, we know in the long run it will be more effective towards preserving our environment, which is an existential threat right now if we don't take care of the environment. So yes, there are areas where we need to put up infrastructure. We need to change the entire mechanisms of the infrastructure. And this obviously is costly. And so going forward, maybe invest now, put in a bit more cash, and then we'll reap the benefits in the future.
For Mugala and other clean energy champions, the challenge will be to reduce the costs of going electric and encourage consumers to go green. Lenny Rovaga for VOA News, Nairobi.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Jim Stevenson, Amy Hybels, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Chris Cascale in Washington. Enjoy the day.